When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that's like a missing butt plug. It was inside you all along.
Where are my glasses? They're on my face. I mean, up my ass. I mean, whatever.
Did you mistake your glasses for a butt plug? I didn't follow the steps of... Okay.
You never know. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today... Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
We didn't coordinate. Are we going to reveal the topic at the top of the episode, or are we going to wait?
Literally forgot about that until this moment. No, we're waiting, because this is a live show, and every live show we do, it's live if you're listening live.
Because we're so consistent.
we've done that every time.
For live shows, we wait to reveal the topic until later, just to create a little sense of urgency for you, dear listener. We are live on Pride 48. It is Pride 48 live streaming weekend. An amazing weekend of queer podcasts. They started last night, they started Friday night. I'm in Scotland. I don't even know what fucking day it is anymore. Anyway, we're here in the tail end of what's been a pretty great weekend. Have you been listening, Kyle?
I have been listening, only to the good ones.
Yeah.
No. we already have a guest in the chat that we're talking about hand jobs.
Oh,
you're
great.
Close, but you're not there yet.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of chat room, if you're interested in chatting with us live while we're doing all of this, you can go to pride48.com/chat.
Listening and not in the chat room, it's very confusing as to what you're like. There's a very small group of people that applies to.
Well, yeah.
If you're listening to this on like Wednesday or Thursday, then you've missed it. You didn't.
Feel free to send us messages. You can text us.
Oh yeah.
Or send us emails.
I do have the chat open, so I'm watching.
Anyway, bother us on there, and then a little bit later, if you listen to the show already, you know that we do our Gayest and Straightest, and we will be looking for a Gayest and Straightest from that chat room on Discord. So share it with us. We might pick yours and read it at the end of the show.
Or you might have done a bad job, and we won't pick it.
That's right. That's right. And really, if we don't read yours, feel bad about yourself. That's my goal. Yeah, so Patreon folks.
Because we have a limited time and we have so much to talk about for the topic. We're skipping news, so we're jumping right to. This is weird. Usually, I like to like give you a little bit of something like the news before I thank people for giving us money, but we're jumping right to giving us money. Like it feels weird.
It also feels a little more honest, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
Where our priorities lie.
I don't think so. Okay, speak for yourself, Michael Johnson. Sometimes. I would like to thank the following Patreon members for giving us money and for having something to do before we talk about the topic. Thank you to Gavin and Jerger. That's the only way that could be read, I think.
Sure.
If you want to support us for some reason, go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast to get episodes a day early and ad free episodes and lots of other cool bonuses.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
Yeah, okay.
We're getting right into the topic then?
I guess so. Do we do a countdown? That's what we do when we have an audience, but I feel weird counting you down, especially when there's like a several second delay because we're on different continents.
Don't count me. Don't tell me. Yeah, you can count me. I don't know. Do what you want.
All right. Well, no, I'm not going to do it at all. You're just going to tell them.
Our topic today is...
Pegging.
What? So mean. It's pegging.
It's pegging.
Yeah, it is not the act of being a lady named Peg. It is something sexier. And for information on what pegging actually is, I think we're going to start with Mike.
Yeah, yeah. That's That was a really smooth segue, Kyle. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, let's talk about Peggy. First of all, hopefully this segment doesn't take like a million years. What is pegging, right? Like, we need to come down to a definition. So, and then I'm going to talk about the history of pegging, which blah blah blah. I'm sure people have been putting shit up their ass forever. Anyway, the Wikipedia article, my favorite place to start, says pegging is a sexual practice in which someone, usually with a vagina, performs anal sex on someone else by penetrating their anus with a strap-on dildo. So this is sort of the like modern evolved version of this. We were talking about this in the car driving around today, how like maybe we should start thinking of it as any person putting on a strap-on and doing any other person in their butthole. Like,
I was going to start talking about the fun gender combinations to decide what is real pegging. But like, when people think about pegging, they think about a cis woman pegging her cis male boyfriend in the with a dildo in the butt. Like, that's what we think about. And then like, we evolve from there to be like, you know, gender, what is it, and how, and why can't other people put other things in other people's butts, and then it goes on from there. But that's like the classic definition.
Yeah. And that is indeed how it started. However, we're going to back up a little bit. So the history of pegging, it turns out that the word peg has meant copulate since at least 1902. It appeared in a slang dictionary as an expression that meant fucking. And then we also see the use of the phrase peg boy, which was in the Oxford English Dictionary.
What?
And it says that the etymology of that is from Playboy's Book of Forbidden Words by Robert Anton Wilson, written in 1972, which it's perhaps not the most reliable source, but Wilson wrote, okay, and before you cut me off, this is a quote, because I'm going to use the word that's not sex worker, but the word that's written here.
Okay. I mean, we can talk. I don't know why you think that just because it's in a quote, you can't do things to not say words that we shouldn't say anymore. But, you know, you can do what you want.
I mean, he wrote the word faggot 14 times in a row.
Love it. Yeah. I'm okay. Down with that word. I support that. Use faggot all you want.
Well, okay.
You faggot.
No, okay, but okay.
Just read it, Mike.
Okay, great. He writes, quote, "A peg boy is a young male who prostitutes himself to homosexuals. Peg house is a homosexual brothel. And there is an unsubstantiated story that boys in East Indian peg houses were required to sit on pegs between customers, giving them permanently dilated anuses."
Permanently dilated anuses is my punk band.
Yeah, sure. What chart are they on? Like
the homo, the queer core. Right. Yeah, on Sundays instead of going to church, you can come watch permanently dilated anuses. Wow, that's
huge
like
in Japan. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's like a peg is like a fluffer of the anus. Like it helps keep you there.
Yep. So the idea is that these boys who were sex workers sit on pegs in between clients to keep themselves ready, to keep themselves open, and that's the peg. And so that moves us to what is more or less the undisputed reason that we have the modern connotation of the word peg.
I'm not over the word peg boy. I don't know how. Okay, I guess we can move on because I have nothing more to say to it. I'm just like really like a good peg boy. I'm internalizing it and just, you know. Okay, but you can. I guess we can move on from that.
So it is all Dan Savage. Dan Savage did the whole thing. Dan Savage, who is a Seattle local celebrity, who's got his start writing columns about sex for our alternative newspaper, The Stranger, in May of 2001, wrote an article, and at the end of it, he asked, quote, "What should we call it when a woman fucks a man in the ass with a strap-on dildo?" And then he got a whole bunch of feedback about that from his readers. Sick of Names in Chicago wrote in and said, "At the end of last week's column, you asked, what should we call it when a woman fucks a man in the ass with a strap-on dildo? We should call it a woman fucking a man in the ass with a strap-on dildo. Does every sexual practice need a cute term? I'm sick of not being able to say everyday, previously run-of-the-mill phrases like tossed salad, because now everyone thinks I want my ass eaten out instead of a plate of fresh vegetables.
That's what makes life fun. If we didn't have sexual innuendo, like, phrases that corporate marketing companies put out and their innuendos, like, what would I have to tweet about? Like, that's the worst opinion. And this is the only joy I have in my life is euphemisms for sexual acts that everyday people say.
Don't take this from me.
I have so little left. I've pegging and words that are euphemisms.
Yep. Well, yeah. Okay. So I want to read this one also because it strikes at the heart, I think, of the conversation that we really need to have, which is around gender and sexual orientation and connotations that aren't helpful or useful. Truthful Hetero wrote, "What should we call it when a woman fucks a man in the ass with a strap-on dildo? It ought to be called a latently gay man desperately trying to hold on to his heterosexuality. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but at least it's honest." You have opinions.
I mean, it's not, yeah. The idea that butts are gay is clearly a thing that we have to talk about when we talk about pegging. And it's, I don't know, it's just like... We've talked about stereotypes for 17 years on this show, and it's a boring old stereotype that's just annoying and irrelevant based on like biology, and I don't know, it's just stupid and I hate it.
Great. Okay. This is going to be a great episode then.
I was thinking through the process of this becoming a gay stereotype, and it had to be just like the basic of like gay men needed a hole to put things in, and that was the butt, and that's like other than mouth, like that's the only option. And so because that's our option, anything from then on everyone was like, oh, gay dudes do that, so then anything involving the butt was gay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, gay men are close them off to so much pleasure and joy in life because they don't want to feel like emasculated or feminine.
Yeah. Well, in the chat room, Nico says exactly the right thing. Some straight dudes are bottoms. Shouldn't be a big deal. Okay. Moving on with more of Dan Savage's readers, In Touch With My Anal Side says, quote, "I'm your typical straight Joe, but after an old girlfriend started sticking her fingers up my ass, I was on a slippery slope. By the time we broke up, she was pounding my ass like a pro. I have had some of the best orgasms of my life that way. Believe me, boys, convincing your new girlfriend to stick something up your ass is a lot harder than actually taking something up your ass."
Now that I think about it, like the best orgasm I ever had was while some dude was fucking me and jerking me off, and that's the pleasure that straight men take away from themselves. They're like, "Well, I can masturbate myself." And it's like, "Oh, you have no idea the worlds of pleasure that exist below your belt."
Straight guys, find your prostate. I can't. You might as well.
Your prostate is notoriously hidden during winter and summer. And
medically verified.
Medically verified.
My prostate is like Groundhog's Day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's never seen its shadow.
I hated seeing it the first time, and everyone keeps convincing me I'll like it.
Good. Let's see. Paris P. wrote, quote, "Boy... sex workers were sometimes called peg boys because they would sit on pegs to keep their assholes open between clients. So I suggest the word..." Yeah. "So I suggest the word peg. The woman would be the pegger, the boy would be the peggy, the act would be pegging, and the boy would write in his personal ad, 'I want to get pegged.'" So there were some other suggestions that people wrote in that Dan liked more or less.
I like that someone actually like had the research. Like, I, you know, when I think of people voting on internet shit, I don't think of someone like, there's actually a, you know, historical context for this definition. I like that they knew that and brought that into it when they replied.
Yeah. We're going to get to that. Oh. Unoriginal Wordsmith said, "In the case of a man getting fucked by a woman, he's letting her do the balling. So I would appropriate the football term punt. After all, he's essentially punting the ball to the other team.
He's letting her do the balling?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a verb I'm not aware of?
Balling?
Balling? Like...
Like in the Tenacious D song, I want to ball you completely? Anyway.
No, I don't. Okay. I've not heard that sexually.
All right. Well, it is. Oh. So then there's also this one. Bob's your uncle wrote in and said, I have an idea, Bob. This is in reference to the popularity of the bend over boyfriend videos, which demonstrate both the pleasures and techniques involved in this act. Different tenses of this word also work well. Ergo, Kathy bobbed me last night. Or, so, are you into bobbing? All of this turned into Dan Savage then ran a vote and had people write in and vote for Bob, for Bend Over Boyfriend, a popular series of how to fuck your man in the ass videos, punt for kicking the ball to the other team, and peg for a device once used to keep the butts of some very unlucky boys gaping open.
So, I mean, or lucky, depending on who you ask and how you look at it.
Yeah, there's something like unnecessarily demeaning about that. Also, yeah. This was 2001, which I think there's some forgiveness for historical context to be put in there.
There's not, we don't forgive, but we understand.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So 12,103 people voted. The clear winner was Peg with 5,216 votes, 43%. So Peg was the winner, and it sort of just took off from there. It entered the English vernacular because of this silly, hey, what should we call this sex act thing that Dan Savage did.
I like in another, like, would you, if you could go pick, would you pick that one still? Like, I like a world in which it's called bobbing.
I like a world in which it's called bobbing also, but
yeah.
Dan Savage himself, he said that he didn't necessarily like that one as much because it already has the connotation of like bobbing for apples or like bobbing your head while you're sucking a dick. So it seemed less, I don't know, tactically good or something.
You're right. I liked that at first. I actually liked that comparison and similarity, but I guess I can see it. I guess. Okay, fine. Dan Savage.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Peg is the right answer. I think that the reason that things are successful in language like this is because they speak to some weird kind of unknowable, unpredictable tendency of humans to all align on the same thing randomly. That's why memes work, right? And
God, you're in Europe. I was waiting for you to say je ne sais quoi, but you didn't. Quoi. I'm so glad. I'm so proud of you.
The zeitgeist. I was in Germany last week or 2 weeks ago.
Someone posted in the chat room an image of Peggy Hill. So that's thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's Dan Savage. That's really the reason that we have the modern meaning of the word peg. And he, like you said earlier, he very much framed it as when a woman fucks a man in the ass with a strap-on dildo. I think that that definition has expanded, like those boys sitting on the pegs, mm-hmm. so that their assholes would gape better. That was the original definition, that it was that would specifically a cis woman strapping on a dildo and fucking her cis male boyfriend.
Yeah.
No. Or husband. Or coworker.
I was okay, coworker hot. No, I don't think husband. I don't think it's husband. I think it's boyfriend. I don't think in your married relationship you start pegging. I think pegging is one of those things like a dog, like it's better when it enters the relationship before marriage. And that way it's like, you know, because then it's like a thing. It's like if you during the course of your relationship it comes up, you're like cool. But like after, you know, 23 years of marriage, if you're the dude, you have to be like, okay, how do I say this brand new thing to my wife? Like, hey,
it's so true. Like, how do you bring it up? Right? Like, that's got to be a hard conversation for everyone involved, especially with all of the like bullshit and baggage that's associated with it.
Yeah. I think you bring it up by saying like, say like you want to get into bestiality, and then she's like, what? And you're like, no, okay, fine, just peg me. Like, if you go wildly extreme and then back up to just pegging, she's like, oh, fine, oh, okay, I'll definitely stick a dildo in your ass. Woo, that was close.
Oh, God, mom, dad, I'm pregnant. No, I've just got a B in history.
Yeah. Got a D in history, more like it. Okay. Yeah. Wait, do we need to... the summary of this segment is we still need to come up with a word and define it and get, like, notoriety through that. That's what I'm hearing. We've decided we need to make up a word, and we haven't come up with what word, what it's about, what topic, anything about it, just that we want to be known for creating a word.
Yes. Yes. I think that that's the key to success. What has Dan Savage done for us except pegging in Santorum? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean, he and his hot, hot boyfriend have beautiful arms, so he's, like, helped me, you know.
Yeah.
Orgasm.
And you live near each other too, right? Like, you're like neighbors, basically.
I don't know where he lives, actually. I've not gotten into that level of stalking.
Hmm. Okay.
I've seen him once walking around Capitol Hill. And I was like, and then it did nothing about it.
Because weird whispering takes celebrities at ease every time.
Have you ever, like, when you're walking past someone and you, or, like, say something, like, you, like, I always do this thing where I don't actually say anything. Like, I mouth the words, and for some reason I'm whispering so quietly. Excuse me. Sorry. Like, why am I talking so fucking softly to this stranger? Like, I'm sorry. Like, why did I just fucking whisper that? Like, why didn't I speak in a normal human voice? I don't understand. Okay. Peg me. Okay, so the thing that I want to talk about, that's where we were at the year 2001.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, bring it a little bit more into the modern day, opinions of pegging. And I'm going to do this by talking about the prince of pegging.
Aww.
Why did you sound like you just saw a bunny? Like, why do you love the Prince of Pegging?
Oh, okay. Nichelle Nichols died, and now my whole life is ruined. Somebody just posted that in the news, and they added me. And this is not the time to have this conversation, but she was Uhura in the original Star Trek, so now I'm crestfallen, as Big Fatty would say. Mm. All right, go ahead.
And now you'll never get pecked by her.
Yeah, nope, I can't. I won't. I'll have to.
Well,
have to...
any kind of pegging she'll do from now on will be
non-consensual.
Very one-sided effort.
Can you be a non-consensual pegger? I suppose you could. Yeah.
I mean, yes. And also, there's a lot of process that would have to go into making that happen. So I think dead is the best option for non, like, then. Okay, this is a weird. Yep.
Let's get back to your thing. The Prince of Pegging.
The Prince of Pegging. Did you
hashtag how, Prince of Pegging, right?
Hashtag Prince of Pegging. Yep, yep. Yeah. How much of this did you see? Did you know all of this story already?
I think I know most of it. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
but
I don't know.
Wait. I told you I would play dumb. So back up. Try it again. I know we're live, but like, edit this in post.
No, Daniel, turn back time. Edit this out. Okay. Do you know what this? Have you heard this news story? Do you know what it is?
You said Prince of Pegging?
Yeah.
No idea. Tell me more.
Oh my god. That was wild. Let's talk about it. Okay. Prince of Pegging. This is we picked this, I will say, before the prince.
Mm-hmm.
These stories came out, and I would just, I all of a sudden saw a bunch of, I didn't know it was about this story. I just saw a bunch of posts about pegging this week, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Did someone hack into our planning files and reveal the, I don't know,
we can blame Derek now.
Just gonna say Derek is a spy for fucking no one, because no one gives a shit what topics we do. Okay. Prince of Pegging. This is originated from the Instagram website, because I never use technology, from this Instagram account called Dumoi, D-E-U-X, moi. And this is the original kind of rumor. There's a rumor posted, and they are like, so they all give so many stipulations of like, every news article is like, this is a rumor. There's no verification on this. There's in no way based in any kind of truth or fact, or we've not researched to confirm. So like, I guess we have to do the same thing again, but no one gives a shit, so it doesn't matter. Okay, quote, "This is so salacious. I'm almost too shook to share with you, but will anyway. The British Royals' extramarital affair is an open secret in London and amongst the English aristo set, and is the talk of every party and news desk. At a recent media party, I was told the real question of the affair was the Royals' love of pegging."
Wait, Prince William?
This, I will go on to continue reading, ignoring you temporarily, but put a butt plug in it.
Okay, great.
Continuing, "which the wife is far too old-fashioned to engage in. The wife doesn't mind her, and in fact prefers her husband, getting his sexual needs fulfilled elsewhere, as long as things don't become emotional, which was the case with the last woman."
Mm. Mm.
It did not specify which prince, but everyone just automatically... I wonder if there were just more stock footage, like stock images of Prince William's butt that people could post. And they were like, this one, because I saw a lot of pictures of him bending over. So that is the source of this rumor. Everyone started connecting it to Prince William's. Everyone puts a million disclaimers that no one knows for sure. But that's where this started. And what?
So, I mean, you know. Queen Elizabeth pegged the shit out of Philip. Like, right up to the very end. In fact, that's probably how he really died.
Pegging overdose. Got an OD stands for over dildoed.
Yep.
God, is that the key to long life? You just peg more.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, I
can't prove it's not true. You can.
I was gonna say, this is not like a God thing. I'm pretty sure I could easily prove it. Okay, later in, I guess I'll reveal this now. Later, one of the things that I want to do is talk strategies on destigmatizing. We've done very little actual work and help and strategizing on how to improve life for people. We just talk about how shitty it is. I think one of the things that we could do to help destigmatize this is say that pegging improves your lifespan.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. But we're not there yet.
Well, but like, doesn't prostate massage decrease the chances that you get prostate cancer? There's probably something to that.
Oh, like, is that true?
Yeah.
And here I've just been doing it for fun. I didn't know I needed to for medical reasons too. Okay.
Oh God. Okay.
So what I did with this is I took a few of the places that I found this article and read the comments. Mm-hmm. I was really curious about how people were going to react to this. And as we already talked about, like, there's assumed homophobia that, like, I was just waiting for like all the gay jokes and saying he's gay and that pegging is a gay thing, and he's definitely gay, and I don't know. I was just waiting for that. But here's what I actually found. The article that I found on... So I have a bunch of examples. So first, the article on She Knows, which is a website I hadn't heard of. What does she know?
Is that before or after she bangs?
I think she knows because she bangs.
Great. Okay, great.
You know? Pegging makes you wiser, too. That's another thing about it. According to the article on She Knows, it says the best comment that is out there on, you know, Twitter or wherever is from the comedian Richard Jeter, who tweeted, "Man, the next season of The Windsors is going to be lit, and The Crown's going to have to clock in an NC-17 series." So...
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right there, I was already surprised that the, you know, what this article quoted as like the funniest comment, it's not that, I don't know, Richard Jeter, I don't know you that well. In fact, this is the only thing I know about you, but yeah, you're not, it's his, not that.
Yeah. Your brother Derek is kind of a douchebag.
Like, right? And your name is long for dick, so I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here. But I was surprised that, like, the, you know, here's the comedian's reaction and the best tweet that we're, whatever, is, like, not as absolutely no homophobia in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing homophobic about that. Just saying, like, boy, we're going to have to do pegging storylines on Netflix shows or whatever. Tweet exchange that someone brought up from the previous, like from a couple years ago. I guess there are always rumors that Prince William is having an affair, so I don't know. This is from a couple years old, but someone brought it up again. Someone said, I thought Prince William was too boring to have an affair. And then someone else replied, which one is he? And they said, the bald one with the teeth. Which,
I mean, harsh but fair.
How like, if people were to describe the difference, you know, some people like don't look up who we are, don't know the difference. How would you describe, what would our, the bald one with the teeth, what's our version of that?
I assume you're the tall one with the beard.
I thought I was going to be the hot one with the beard, but okay, that's fine, Mike.
Why would I call you the hot one?
I mean, because you love objective facts.
Oh, well.
You love objective fags.
Okay.
Another person, at @LaurenKristen_ on Twitter said, quote, what happens between two consenting adults is none of my business. Which, like, that, I think that's both a, it's one of those things that, like, the fact that you felt the need to comment that at all is telling.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing. I think this is what I generally saw, like, an evolution beyond the homophobia and people being more okay with pegging and recognizing that there might be gay assumptions or stereotypes to it and not wanting to go there. So I hated this before, and I hate anytime someone says, like, what you do behind closed doors is none of my business, because it's very, like, oh, I don't know. It just pretends it's invisible rather than actively accepting it.
Yep, absolutely. For sure.
I don't know. You'll have to tell me if you think this is any kind of weird homophobia or I don't know what it is.
Yes.
Great. Next segment. @Philip_Ellis. The L's are not where you think they are, but @Philip Ellis on Twitter said, William being a big old bottom is the most interesting thing about him. But as any queer person will tell you, that's still pretty boring.
I mean, yeah.
I think that's funny. I
think it's hilarious. I mean, kind of true. Like, just being a bottom is not diversity, y'all.
Okay, well. But is it, Mike? But isn't it? How do you start a poll in the group chat of is being a bottom diversity?
Derek do it. We have a person now.
Derek, invent the functionality for Discord to make this happen. Chat room, is being a bottom diversity? I think there's something there.
Okay. I mean, we've talked before about, like, we're both cis white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Being gay does not make us interesting.
It's again, it's the most interesting thing about me, but not that interesting. Like, right. I think I can feel this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, Prince William getting pegged is not that interesting.
Thank you. There's a comment. I love bottoms. That's helpful.
In the chat, Greg, I think in reference to, like, our stereotypes of who we are is just beer versus rosé. Like, I'm the beer one, you're the rosé one.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I'm the hot one that drinks rosé. Yeah. A lot of the comments were more, like, focused on Meghan Markle and, like, shitting on her. People, I love her. I don't know. Do you have any strong opinions about her?
I don't want to poop on her. That's for sure.
That's our next episode. It's just called pooping on.
I honestly don't care. Like
about Meghan Markle?
About anything to do with the British royal family. The intensity with which some people like scrutinize every single aspect of their lives, I just don't care. I want to care about something as much as they seem to care about these fucking people's lives. And I just don't.
I agree with you. I will say the interview that Meghan Markle gave with Oprah was one of the gay things that I did and made me love her. She talks about a serious heavy shit. She revealed a lot of information, like both of them, but especially her, like revealed information about the royal family, which no one fucking does. And people need to start doing more to be like, this is wild. Like, this is dumb that we have a royal family. They're all fucked up. They're racist. They suck. Like, what are they fucking doing? It's
hey Kyle.
Hey, oh, hi. Hey.
I'm presently in the United Kingdom. Please don't get me put in some kind of weird British prison because of this.
Louder for the police in the back so they arrest you. Anyway, okay, I love her. Anyway, so a lot of shit on her, which fucking sucks, and I think a lot of it is rooted in racism and... fuck them. People talked about Prince Andrew being a pedophile, so that's cool. This is the most homophobic thing I found on Yahoo Life on their article. The top voted, most voted comment was, oh my, I wish I hadn't looked up pegging. So it's not that bad. I just think people, I think there's an implicit connection to me between pegging. It's a sexual act. It's like, would you have not wanted to look up, you know, what P&V sex is? You know, I think it's because it's the butt, because it's sex in the butt. I think that's why you don't like it. I don't know. I think there's it's just a couple steps away from homophobia, but I don't know. So overall, my take on this is less homophobic than I expected out of this entire story.
Oh, okay. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard. And I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good. But also I enjoyed the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do, yes. It was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah, well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. Well, now we're going to keep talking about pegging.
Next up on Gayish, more pegging. Yeah, you say stuff now.
Well, actually, I really have to thank Lewis in the car today for mentioning this, because it turned into like the most interesting thing that I've read in a while. do you know who Cara Delevingne is?
No.
Me neither. But,
great.
She is an,
next segment.
She is an actor and model, and at the 2021 Met Gala, she wore an all-white outfit designed by Dior's Maria Grazia Chiuri, and her top was designed to look like a bulletproof vest, and across it said, "Peg the Patriarchy."
Mm.
Do you have a reaction to that phrase?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, keep talking on this podcast where that's the exclusive benefit we offer is talking.
We're doing it live.
I mean, it's like, fuck the patriarchy 2.0. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of like some of the things about it's, how do I think about pegging, but not base it in like assuming the penetrator is the masculine one. Like I'm like, yeah, like women, like get on top, you know, fuck your man. And but like the power shit, I don't know, it's weird. It gets weird when you like try to not be,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm probably not saying it great because of, I don't know.
Well, she was asked, what does it mean? And she wasn't super forthcoming. She said, quote, if anyone doesn't know what this word is, you're going to have to look it up because I'm not going to explain it. And she pointed to the word peg, which in the chat room is a picture of her wearing said outfit.
I would let her peg me.
She added, quote, you know, it's a bit like stick it to the man if anyone wants to look up the word. People on Twitter freaked out. Some people said that she is saying that penetration is inherently demeaning. Some asked why you'd want to offer the patriarchy sexual pleasure. But then it goes even deeper because
she should have said like cuck the patriarchy or something. That's that. No, some people like that. That could still be sexual pleasure.
Mm. Well, you don't know what they're into. But then Toronto-based sex educator Luna Matatas, which, yes, that is her name. It sounds like Hakuna Matata.
What? Anyway. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Toronto-based sex educator Luna Matatas, turns out that she coined and trademarked the phrase peg the patriarchy in 2015. Huh. And she said that she was happy to see Peg the Patriarchy make it to the Met Gala, but then was less happy that nobody, not Cara Delevingne, not nobody on her team, gave her any credit whatsoever. Mm. A lot of people on social media also pointed the finger at Dior, who did the design work. quote, this happens to small artists all the time, so much so that I have an assistant whose job includes finding and tracing people printing and selling Peg the Patriarchy. And she said, quote, remember that as a fat, queer POC, I am working twice as hard just to do what I'm already amazing at. From censorship to patriarchy to racism, all biz barriers specific to my social location. Enter sex shop co-owner at Met Gala with a custom-designed vest with the Peg the Patriarchy on it. What's grossest for me is the media interviews, with Kara blatantly owning it as if it wasn't already owned. Sound familiar? Colonialism. But she says it meant, quote, Peg the Patriarchy is about subversion, not about an anal sex act, and not about men. It's a metaphor for subverting the system that requires subservience within a gender binary. I have met so many cool people through this art over the past 5 years. It has brought me joy, livelihood, giggles, hate, and connection. A pretty good mixed bag. Matatas sells merch with the slogan on it, and asks that people mention her wherever they see the hashtag Pig the Patriarchy online. It's just really interesting that a plus-sized queer woman of color owns that phrase, and they just totally fucking steamrolled her, par for the course, right?
Yeah. So much of, we do this all the time in white gay culture of taking what, especially queer black women or trans or drag queens say and do, and kind of take it and use it, which I think is fine, but like with the proper recognition, and like we tend to be the ones that then profit off of things, and this is a good example. I think it's interesting because there, once you have big companies, there's a level of like not knowing that someone else did something or whatever, but once you have a big enough company, you have the resources to do basic research like this.
Right.
Like if a small independent person or company doesn't know, that's different than big companies that have the ability and just don't fucking care to do any kind of research or make any effort. So
yeah, for sure. Ugh, capitalism, am I right?
Capitalism.
And like she's in Canada. It's not like in some random ass country that doesn't have a good trademark office. Like a basic lawyer should be able to figure out what's going on in Canada for trademarks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basic lawyer. I want someone to have like the hashtag basic lawyer. I drink PSLs while getting your, you know, eviction overturned.
Oh god.
Should I do my last thing?
Bring us home, Kyle.
Okay. Like I said, we don't do a lot of helpful anything on this show. So for once in our miserable gay lives, I thought we would try to build a strategy. Like if we were to strategize, well, maybe we can start with the premise of like, I think destigmatizing things like pegging, things like anal sex with straight people or I guess non-cis gays, like destigmatizing it is a useful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that premise?
I agree that less sex shame is good.
Okay. You work really hard not to just say you agree with me, but that's fine. That's the best I can get out of Mike usually.
I mean, you know, ask me more yes or no questions, Kyle. See what fucking happens.
Am I the hot one? No, okay. Don't answer that. implicit yes with your silence. Okay. So I think like what we're seeing, like especially like these days and with monkeypox and in Congress, like these far right wing people are saying that gays are dirty and our sex is gross. And we like, I think a lot of that, honestly, destigmatizing sex, like you're talking about, and especially things that are stereotypically assigned to gay men is useful. So I think there's something that could, if gay men aren't the only ones that do these kinds of things, then we're not like, then we don't get blamed as much for shit. I don't know. That's very self-serving. That's not the reason. I think it's useful. So I wanted to start thinking of strategies of what we might do to help destigmatize pegging.
Okay.
If we were to build like a political strategy around destigmatizing pegging, what kinds of things would we do?
I would find the hottest, most mask, well-known pop culture dude figure publicly go
Adam Rippa.
And Jesus Christ, Kyle. Oh no, that is the wrong answer. This is Jason, bad casting. Jason Momoa. We need Jason Momoa to go on national television extolling the virtues of just getting railed. Like, talk about how much he loves it. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Well, I mean, I have a penis, but I would wear a strap on if it meant I got to peg Jason Momoa. Like, that's
this is the real question. Okay. There's any, you know, basically the only ones that can't, we are amongst the only people that can't participate in pegging is gay men. I guess I could, if I had sex with someone with a vagina, then they could, that could be technically pegging. Anyway.
But what if I wear a strap on just like right at nipple height around my chest?
Not where I thought you were going. Why?
The point is I can wear a strap on. Just because I have a penis in the way doesn't mean I have to wear that strap on in like the normal place. I can still peg somebody.
Why is it on your chest?
Image is hilarious to me. Me just like wearing a dildo in the middle of my tits. It just makes me happy.
Why wouldn't you still put it at your crotch? Why would you?
Don't ruin this for me, Kyle. You don't know what I want.
I usually want people to do what makes them happy and encourage sexual exploration. Don't do this.
Okay,
good. Don't put a dildo. Don't put a strap on at your chest.
All right. I'll put a strap on just like above my dick, I guess.
Back of your head. That would be a fun place.
On my forehead. Oh, be like a dildo unicorn.
That's our word. Unicorning. It's pegging with a dildo on your forehead like a unicorn.
Yeah. Okay. If I get to unicorn Jason Momoa, count me in.
There's a gif of a wrestler that I should know.
John Cena.
Thank you. Okay, yes. That is another very good option. Thank you, Thread, Discord, chat. Okay. I love this campaign that we're starting. I think we cast him. I think to get him on board, we cast him in a movie about pegging or that includes pegging, and that would then encourage the interview. Like he would do that because of he's an actor, and that's one of the things they do is be in movies. And so we would cast him in that movie, and during the interviews they would ask him about the pegging scene, and that would encourage his discussion of his personal life and pegging.
Okay, wait. If we wrote a movie in which a man discovers pegging and the virtues of it, and then we made a very conscious effort to cast someone who was a method actor, would they then have to go get pegged?
Oh, so who's American Psycho? That guy?
Christian Bale?
Christian Bale. Or fucking Joker. Who's that dumb guy? Or Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, all the method actors are problematic. Their method is being problematic. Like,
yeah. It's just write a screenplay in which pegging features prominently, and we will cast somebody who's a method actor, and then they'll have to do it.
Eat, peg, love.
Yes, that's exactly right. Stop talking. We've done it. You did it.
But eat right before pegging. Right. Maybe
love peg eat is better, but like
maybe
that
that's
doesn't
the
alliterate
calamity
as well.
Maybe that's the inciting incident of the movie is shitting during pegging. The problem is not the peg itself, it's the poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Be the peg you want to see in the world.
Oh. It's beautiful. Merrick Joe Biden. Come on.
Yeah.
One of the things, I had a lot of ideas. None of them were as good as that one. But the one thing that I will mention that was on my list that did not involve Jason Momoa is that straight people are already doing this and making sure people know that, like, I think people don't realize or believe or understand or know that this is already happening. The CDC... the same group that doesn't know how to fix pandemics twice in a row said that did a the national survey of family growth, where apparently pegging or anal sex was one of the questions. They did a survey from 2006 to 2008 of people ages 15 to 44, and the percentage of people that have had anal sex at least once in their lives, for straight men, that was 44%.
What?
Yeah.
Receptive anal sex?
Fuck, Mike. I thought.
Yes, everyone. Fuck Mike.
That's the third step in this. Fuck, you're right. I don't know that it was receptive. Damn it. I forget that you can have anal sex in ways that aren't receptive.
That checks out.
It's left my brain that that's an option. Fuck. Okay.
Good thing you're a diversity bottom, so.
Diversity bottom. Bring me on your corporate team. I have a different way of thinking about things, and it's fiber. Okay, so never mind. I'll bring the stats maybe to next week's episode on how many straight men have received.
If you can get them to tell you.
So, do we need to say more about pegging?
I mean, we could.
We could. We shouldn't, but we could.
But do you think we did it? No, let's first just do a little bit of synthesis here.
Okay.
Do you or do you not think that pegging should be any human person strapping on a dildo and putting it in any other human person's asshole?
The only
is that too restrictive? Is that too broad?
The only thing I was like cis gay men, I don't think, but like there are reasons that cis gay men might do this. If you have a small penis, if someone's like, loves a fucking giant dick that's impossible, like, I don't know, there are a million. Yes, so I agree. I do think pegging should be anyone doing this to anyone.
And everyone should. Rainbow. That's our takeaway.
Unicorning. That's my takeaway.
Okay, great. did we do it?
Yeah, we're going to take a brief break in the chat room. Please post gayest and straightest so we can look at and read some of y'all's if they're any good.
Yeah.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
I didn't know how long we were going to sit quietly before.
When we're in person together, we would do a shot, but we're so far away.
Yeah, I'll just keep drinking my rosé.
Great. So let's see. Where the hell are my notes? So first of all, we're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, if you're listening live, the Patreon Zoom happy hour is this coming Wednesday, August 3rd at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We will send the Zoom link out over the Patreon app, so look to that. Come join us. We're going to hang out. We're going to have some booze. I'm going to be so super jet lagged, I'll probably fall asleep during the call. It's going to be amazing. Let's see. Local Gay Bar Review will be back next week. I'm not going to do that now because we're live. We have an hour-long slot because it's Pride 48, baby. our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on social media now, being run better, harder, faster, and stronger thanks to our new production assistant, Derek. So now's a good time to join at Gayish Podcast, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, pegging.com.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address that I've not checked in weeks now is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
If you are listening live, remember to stick around because there are lots of, well, not lots, but, you know, the rest of the shows that are coming up are going to round out the weekend. There is the Little Fatty Cast Minority Report, who, because we've been on their podcast once, we call them friends. That's how you do it in the podcasting world, in the closing show. So make sure you stick around.
Yeah, do it. It's going to be great. Time for Gayest and Straightest?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, on the Patreon segment, I'm going to talk about how to peg. We kind of skipped over like the act of how to peg. So if you, yeah.
Don't you think they should find out for themselves, Kyle?
No,
a trial and error kind of a thing.
Nope. Nothing with your butt should be trial and error, except I don't know. I have nothing. Okay, I'll go first. My gayest is these days every itch I have, I think, is monkeypox. That's fun. My straightest is I went to get drinks with a friend and I kept accidentally making eye contact with this lady that was drinking alone at the the other side of the bar. It happened like three or four times where I kept accidentally making eye contact with her and I was like, oh god, I want to do a big no, I'm not doing this as X. I'm just looking. I'm sorry. No,
Couldn't you just have looked gayer? Would that have helped? I don't know.
God, I tried.
So
what about you?
Yeah, the straightest thing about me this week, I'm traveling, and luckily this weekend I'm in Scotland, and it's just for fun because all of the work travel has been over for a couple of days now.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So, the straightest thing about me this week was in a bar in Dublin, and my friend Kelly, was getting hit on by this super drunk Irish dude that just was not getting the hint, and I got her a beer, and as I handed it to her, he asked her, is that your boyfriend? And she was like, yes, that is my boyfriend. So I was Kelly's boyfriend, believably, for an evening, at least long enough to get rid of that asshole. And then the gayest thing about me this week was my sheer glee at, we were talking about rollerblades in the car. And my friend Marcy told a really funny joke that I'd never heard before. She said, what's the hardest thing about learning how to rollerblade?
What?
Telling your dad you're gay.
Honestly, when you started talking about rollerblading, I can't. I just think of someone in cutoff jean shorts.
Yeah, I'd not heard it before, and I laughed and laughed because it's true, because I rollerbladed to class my freshman year of college. And I am gay. Also, the most Scottish thing about me this week was wearing my wool cap on a ferry, drinking an iron brew while my friend Fraser played the bagpipes wearing a kilt as we crossed over to the Isle of Skye. It was just it's ridiculous.
Wow. You just said so many things in a row.
Yep.
From the chat room, RT Cruiser said that his gayest is being in Australia and living by US time to catch up on all the Pride 48 shows.
Yeah.
We appreciate you doing what all Australians do, which is adjust to the US. Straightest is not bothering to shower much or even getting dressed. Boy, I've been why would I shower? I'm just going to sweat and it's going to be, I don't know why I would do this.
Should we do a couple more? We have a couple more. Nono Dan says his straightest has successfully rewired our entertainment center, incorporating a new internet gateway on the first attempt. And gayest was like a router.
I don't want you to tell
me. Well, anyway, gayest, tapping my foot and impatiently staring at my husband while he added plastic desk cable grommets to the newly drilled holes in the drywall.
Gay, I thought impatient. tapping your foot. I thought we were going. Okay. That's, I thought we were going a different direction, but that's fine.
Daniel Brewer, thanks Daniel for running our bumpers. We really appreciate that. And for being Pride 48 amazing.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Great. He said his straightest, drinking at La Cava del Tequila at Epcot. Gayest, ordering an avocado margarita with a hibiscus salted rim at said bar. You had me at rim.
Surprisingly, the first step towards pegging.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Pride 48, for having us. We really appreciate it every time. It's always a wonderful, wonderful event, and we're super, super stoked to be here.
I want to thank Mike for waiting to fidget with his noise-making thing till the very end of the show. That was nice. And I want to thank our gap bridges, John Crowley, Stephen Porcio, Stosol, Harry Shaw, Dash Copeland, Forrest Dunn, Bosch, Martin, Anonymous, James Barrow, Steve Douglas, Explosive, Lizana, Christopher Farrell, Just Jamie, Kevin Henderson, Dippin, McStumbles, Don Litsky, Thomas B. Dustin, Sense, A. Coleman, Chris Kachaturian, and Jerome York.
That's it. This has been Gage from the Chris Kachaturian Studios. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
Bye.
Bye.
Great.
Had to get in that last word, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think that made it to the stream too. I was like, I was trying to shut the stream off quietly here, and you went great.
I know. Yes. I thought we were professionals, Mike, and that we knew to be quiet. And well, after the end of a
yeah, I do what I want.